Well, we had a plan this morning, and it wasn't to come to Nrisingapalli, but here we are. And that's the way life goes. We have a plan, Krishna has a plan, and Krishna always wins. And that's nice. Just being able to be a little flexible to move with Krishna's plan. That's where it sometimes gets to be a little hard. Before speaking something about Nrisingapalli, sometimes also called Devapalli, I'll speak something about where we had intended to go this morning before Indra changed our plan. And that was we were going to visit Dvaita Acharya's home in Shantipur. We were going to visit Puliya. Puliya is the place where Haridas Thakur, the Acharya for the chanting of the holy name, stayed in a very humble setting, in a cave along the bank of the river Jamuna. We described a little bit when we were in Antardweep about the significance of the name Antar, confidential reason for Lord Chaitanya's appearance disclosed to Lord Brahma, and then Lord Brahma requested that if he's going to take part in Lord Chaitanya's service, a humble position in his service, and that he was as Haridas Thakur. But the position is not a humble position. The position is the most glorious, because Lord Chaitanya appeared to deliver the holy name, and the Acharya for the holy name is Haridas Thakur. That's glorious. But Lord Chaitanya chose, and Haridas Thakur, Lord Brahma, was happy to have the arrangement where the form of the Lord appeared, or excuse me, where the Acharya of the chanting of the holy name appeared in a, not only not in a Vaishnav family, but in a Hindu family, but in a Yavana family. And Haridas Thakur accepted that role and that position very happily. So, Haridas Thakur was 35 years older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there are many pastimes that he performed, I'm going to describe, that took place even before Lord Chaitanya appeared. He was engaged in chanting Krishna's holy name even before Yuga Dharma, delivered by Lord Chaitanya, began. So he was ahead of his time. He was a trendsetter. The early life of Haridas Thakur is not richly available, as some discrepancies between different historians who say different things about his early life. But at least he was raised in a Muslim family. But even not having contact with Krishna, like some of us from the West, never even, at least I can speak for myself, I never even heard the syllables Krishna till I was in college. And then I didn't know what that meant, Krishna. But Haridas Thakur wasn't even in school, and he was not only hearing Krishna's name, but chanting Krishna's name. It was just one of those things, just spontaneous, chanting Krishna's name. It came from his heart. So after some time, he left his place of birth, which again is, there are different historians that say different things. But the first point that done was a place near Dainapol, where he lived in a forest or a jungle. in a solitary manner, and he had the practice of chanting a lot, 300,000 names a day, 3 times 64 rounds every day. And people found that astounding. Whether coming from a Muslim-born person or anybody, 300,000 names a day. And he was being considered as a sadhu, a saintly person. And that really disturbed an atheist landholder with a nice first name, Ramchandra. And last name was Khan, Ramchandra Khan. So he was envious that here's this Muslim-born person chanting Krishna's name so many times every day, and they're thinking of him as a saint. I'll prove that he's not a saint. So he cooked up a plan. He called the most sound prostitutes from the area, assembled them together and said, who's the best amongst you? I want the best amongst you to go and seduce Haridas Thakur and have him fall down, and I'll send some constables with you. And when he falls down, we'll immediately have him arrested, put in jail, and show what kind of a sadhu he is. So they all picked the best amongst them. And she put forward the idea that instead of sending the constables, allow me to spend one night with him, and then after he has relented, then you can send the constables, the police officers, the next day. So Ramchandra Khan agreed to that strategy. So I don't want to get too much into how she decorated herself. But you let your imagination go a little bit. And her finest this and that, finest dress, sari, and finest ornaments, and finest everything. And made sure that parts of her body were properly exposed. And came and sat down sighing in front of Haridas Thakur's cottage, saying, you're a young, handsome man, and I'm very attracted, very beautiful features, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever a girl says to a man to get him. And Haridas Thakur's reply was, very well, I will buy your desire this very evening. But first, I've made a vow to finish a certain amount of chanting, and you can just sit here by my door, and when I've completed my vow, then I'll satisfy your desires. So she sat down. And she heard from the lips of a pure devotee the holy name of Krishna. Again and again and again for hours and hours and hours. And the end of the night came and the sun began to rise, and she was ready to... So Haridas said, I'm very sorry, but I didn't complete my vrata, my vow. But surely you come back and I'll be able to finish, and I'll satisfy your desires. So she left. And she gave her report to Ramchandra Khan. What happened? What happened? And she told what happened and said, I'll go again today, tonight. And he's promised me. So same thing happened. Sit by my door and hear the sound of Krishna's holy name all night long from the lips of a pure devotee. And somehow he didn't finish his chanting. He said, I've taken a vow that 10,000 names I'll chant in each week, so I have some more to chant. But I'm almost there. You come tomorrow, tonight, and we'll enjoy. So by the third evening, hearing from Haridas Thakur, her heart changed. Even the heart of a very fallen professioned person with a mission to bring down a saintly person, her heart changed. Just hearing the sound of the holy name from the lips of a pure devotee. So by the end of the third evening, she fell at his feet, paid obeisances, and said, she disclosed everything. Why she had come and what her intention was, and Ramchandra Khan, and feeling so ashamed of her intention. Then Haridas Thakur replied, I when you first came, I knew exactly what Ramchandra Khan's intention was. I knew that he had sent you, and I knew the whole plan. In fact, I had during the day to leave, but I decided to stay and just deliver you to the sound of the holy name of Krishna. So it's very good that you're feeling repentant and you want to know from me what you should do now that you've made this terrible offense, so I will instruct you. And he gave her the following instruction. Go back to your home. All of the ornaments and fine garments and riches that you've accumulated over time through this profession, give them all away. Detach yourself not only from the profession but from the fruits of that profession and come back here, and you can sit by this tulsi, because he kept a tulsi tree right by his cottage. Sit by tulsi, keep one cloth, and just chant the holy name and make your life, and all the things that you need for your maintenance will come automatically. So she had faith in Haridas Thakur, and so she did exactly what he said, and she shaved her head and came back with one cloth instead of opulent, seductive clothing. And when she arrived, Haridas Thakur rose and he left. And she remained in Benapol and continued chanting the holy name, and the understanding is that she achieved spiritual perfection through the association of Haridas Thakur and the practices that had been given to her. Persons were astonished to see what a transformation had taken place in her life. They accepted her as a truly saintly person, changed by his association, and they came and brought things for her so she could maintain herself in a simple manner. So she didn't need any other maintenance other than chanting of the holy name of the Lord. From there, Haridas Thakur left Benapol. There's an ISKCON temple that's right just on the India side of the border of Bangladesh, and Haridaspur it's called. And there is a place where it is said that Haridas Thakur physically sat and did chanting for some time. And then he went to another place called Chandpur. Chandpur was the residence of Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar. And Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar just happened to be. Govardhan was the father of Raghunath Das Goswami. You know who is Raghunath Das Goswami, right? One of the six Goswamis. His father, Govardhan, and his uncle, Hiranya, were Vaishnavas. But they were not pure Vaishnavas. They were a little materialistic Vaishnavas, but Vaishnavas. they had enormous wealth. Alpat has described what their income was, and I forget what it is, but some enormous figure, and then he said 100 times that is the value today. So they were, in any case, amongst the most wealthy families of all of India. Think of somebody, Rockefeller, Prabhupada would sometimes say, or Birla, or some really, really wealthy family. That was the Majumdar family. And he was the only son of the two brothers, which meant that he was to inherit that gargantuan estate just by staying in Chandpur. So before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived, Haridas Thakur came, and somehow he ended up staying in the house of Balaramacharya and mentioned in relation to Advaita Acharya. There was a friendship between Govardhan Majumdar and Advaita Acharya through the agency of Balaramacharya. So Balaramacharya had some understanding of pure devotional service, and when he had contact with Haridas Thakur, he could understand, here's a pure devotee. Here's an example of what the scriptures teach. He's a living example. So he revered him so much, he made the suggestion to Hiranya and Govardhan that they invite Haridas to come into some assembly like this, where from time to time different brahmanas conducted discourse, different spiritual topics, and he was made the guest of honor to speak about the holy name of Krishna and what it says in the scriptures about the holy name of Krishna. So some of the esteemed members in the assembly spoke the glories of the holy name of Krishna, saying, the holy name of Krishna, or the holy name of the Lord, Hari, is so powerful that just by chanting the holy name of Hari, all of one's karma is eliminated at once, just from chanting Hari's name. And we chant a lot. At least we try to chant a lot. Chant some more. Then another brahmana said, no, much more. By chanting the holy name of Hari, one can achieve liberation. And Haridas Thakur was a little saying, no, 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 no. That's not the glories of the chanting of the holy name. That's just a reflection of the holy name. One who chants the holy name without offense can awaken love of God. And love of God stands above liberation and freedom from one's past karma and sins and all of those things that so many people aspire for. If one can chant the holy name without offense. And there was another envious brahmana. Please note that those two terms don't go together. A brahmana is not envious, and one who is envious is not a brahmana. So an envious brahmana by the name Gopal Chakravarti, he stood up in the assembly and he became irate. That, who are you to speak about scripture, a Muslim-born man? What do you know? That those who chant even a reflection of the holy name achieve that which persons who undergo lifetimes of austerity and different rituals according to the Vedic regulations, and still they don't achieve. And you're saying, even once chanting the holy name, you can achieve all of that. And Haridas Thakur said, it's true. And the man said, if it's not true, then I'm going to cut off your nose. Everyone was shocked to hear language like that in a learned Brahminical assembly. Hiranya and Majumdar had him removed. And they apologized profusely to Haridas. And Haridas said, what can you do? Some people have those kinds of ideas and those kinds of mentalities, but the fact of the matter is that by chanting Krishna's holy name without a love of God is the result. Again, this is before Lord Chaitanya appeared. He's teaching. The same thing Lord Chaitanya is teaching. Love of God through chanting of the holy name. Later, Haridas Thakur said, I had to pay for that offense of hearing blasphemy against the holy name by being beaten by the Qazi in the streets of Puglia. Just from hearing vilification of the holy name. It's one of the offenses against the holy name. Speaking or hearing blasphemy against the holy name. Well, Gopal Chakravarti was shamed by the Brahminical community and discarded. But not only that, not only lost his reputation, but he lost his nose because he contracted leprosy and his nose fell off. He had a beautiful, pointed, golden complexion face, and his nose melted from leprosy because of his offense. The reaction, not that Haridas wished, oh, you're going to get yours. That's not how a Vaishnava thinks, by retaliation, get back mentality. He wasn't thinking like that. But that's what happened. Because Nama Prabhu doesn't forgive, where the devotee may be forgiving, Nama Prabhu doesn't forgive without the antidote, the seeking forgiveness from the person who won offense. That took place in Koladweep. When we visited Koladweep, we spoke about Gopal Chakravarti coming to see Lord Chaitanya when he was staying at the house of Mukunda in Koladweep for 7 days and sought his forgiveness. Lord Chaitanya said, you must go to Haridas and seek his forgiveness. Very much like what Lord Vishnu said to Durvasa Muni. You have to go to Ambarish Maharaj. That's a very important lesson that seems to be repeating itself in our Vaishnava teachings. And in this case, through the pastime of Haridas Thakur. So after spending some time in Chandpur, Haridas Thakur then went to Navadvip. Lord Chaitanya had not appeared yet. He visited the house of Advaita Acharya. And hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam coming from Advaita Acharya, he became so pleased to hear such expressions of pure devotion. And they became friends. Now here's Advaita Acharya, the chief of all the brahmanas, making as a friend, but who's not only not a brahmana, but not even a Hindu, and from some other, at least origin, some other religion. But Haridas Thakur, Advaita Acharya, understood, he's worshipable more than tens of thousands of brahmanas because of his taking full shelter in the holy name. And Haridas Thakur showed, not only he was chanting, he knew the conclusions of the scriptures, not because he was learned, but because he was chanting purely, because one who chants purely, all the truths of the Vedas become revealed. That's stated by Lord Chaitanya. Vya Vadhu Jivanam. The chanting of the holy name is the life. The life of the wife, of knowledge, transcendental knowledge. The fullness of transcendental knowledge is accessible just from devotional service through the medium of chanting the holy name. Doesn't mean we don't read the scripture. We read the scripture. But through proper chanting, we can realize the message of the scripture. The two go together. By design. That which cleanses the heart and that which guides our activity to the right destination, the goal of life, through scripture, delivered through the proper source. an incident took place where we mentioned in the life of Advaitacharya, where upon the death of his father, he went to Gaya to perform Shraddha, because that's a ritual that was observed. And then he visited various places of pilgrimage, holy places throughout India, one of which was Vrindavan. Afterwards, annually he would perform a Shraddha ceremony for his father. It didn't say exactly annually, but he was performing the Shraddha ceremony for his father. The procedure is foodstuffs are offered to Vishnu, and then Vishnu Prasad is then offered to the most esteemed person in that function, and then the remnants of that Vaishnava are then offered to the departed ancestor. So they get the Prasad of Lord Vishnu to help them move on to the next situation if they're by some circumstance not able to move on by their previous contamination. They're relieved of that by the Shraddha ceremony. That's the purpose. So then it becomes important to select the most qualified person in the assembly, and Advaitacharya selected Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur said to Advaitacharya, "What are you doing? You'll lose your caste." That is to say, everyone will dishonor you and disrespect you because Brahmana, and Brahmanas don't do these things. And he said, "You're the best of the Brahmanas because you're pure Vaishnava. Regardless of your birth, you're pure Vaishnava, more honorable than feeding 10 million Brahmanas. I want to give the Shraddha to you first." That's the way of respect. So Haridas Thakur didn't want to stay with Advaitacharya. He was very opulent. He went instead to live, and rather than even in a dharmshala, he stayed in a cave along the side of the riverbank of the Ganges. And he would chant the holy name, and people would come to see him because, same as in Dainapur, he had he was a sadhu. But in the cave was also a big serpent, and it was a poisonous big serpent. So poisonous, there were fumes in the cave. When people came, it was stinging their eyes. So much poison. But Haridas, it's hard for us to stay in this cave, and we're concerned for your safety. And in addition, please take up some other residence. He said, I'm not disturbed, but if you're disturbed, then I can leave. By tomorrow, I'll leave. And as he spoke, this humongous, that's big, serpent, for the translators, huge serpent, full on his hood, went slithering out the cave by the inspiration of Super Soul, because if Haridas has to leave the cave because of me, I should leave the cave. So he left the cave. And everyone was happy. Hope the serpent found a good place to live somewhere else, some other cave. Then the main pastime in Puglia that's described elaborately in Chaitanya Bhagavat is another situation of envy. Someone who was seeing Haridas Thakur moving about the streets of Puglia and everyone honoring him like a saintly person is to be honored. And they couldn't stand that. They were Muslims particularly. They were very disturbed because he's from a Muslim family. So he went to one high-ranking person, went and complained to the Qazi of Puglia. Different first Qazi. He complained. And he said, "This is awful. People that are upstanding Muslims are becoming Hindus. Imagine that. Because of the association of this person that used to be a Muslim and just goes around chanting Krishna's name. And everyone thinks, oh, this is nice, Krishna's name. And they stop being Muslims. If the king comes to find out about this, you're in big trouble." said, bring him here at once. Maybe I can convince him to give up his practice. So it's a long description, and I'm not going to go into a long, detailed narration of it, but he was first taken to jail before he was taken to before the king. And when he entered the jail, there were so many other people like him who were religious people, but because they were too religious, they were put in jail. It happens sometimes in cultures. And when he came into the jail, they were very happy. Oh, a saintly person has come to give his kind association to us in jail. Please, Haridas, give us some benediction. Everyone likes benedictions. Give us some blessing, Haridas. And he said, very well, I give you the blessing that you may stay in the situation that you're in. He said, Haridas, blessings of sadhus don't go in vain. Why are you speaking like this? We don't want to stay in prison. We want out of prison. He said, Haridas said, no, you don't understand. What I meant by may you stay in your position is, right now, you're deprived of sense gratification. And in that deprived of sense gratification, your attention is focused upon Hari, the Supreme Lord. That's a very fortunate situation. May you always stay in that situation. My dear brothers, in a few days' time, you're all going to be released from prison. And what's going to happen when you leave prison? Unrestricted sense gratification and forget Hari. That's what's going to happen. So may that not happen. May you always stay in remembrance of the personality of Godhead, enhanced or otherwise it's blocked by indulging the senses here and there in mundane objects. One's consciousness can't stay fixed upon Hari in that condition. So may you always stay like you are now. And then he was called to go before the Qazi. Just being in the presence of the Qazi was moved, because when you're in the presence of a saintly person, you can feel something, even if you're a Qazi. He was a religious man. So he thought he would use his skills and persuade Haridas to chant the name found in his scriptures instead of the name of Krishna. You're a good Muslim boy. You're from a nice family. Just take the same practices that you were born with and everything will be nice. No problem. And Haridas said, finding difficulty if someone that's born in a Muslim family becomes a Hindu any more than someone that's born in a Hindu family becomes a Muslim. If you think you're the Qazi, you're the representative of the king, who's the representative of God, it's your prerogative, it's your duty to punish me as you see fit. I suggest that you punish me in the same manner of somebody that's Hindu becomes Muslim. Because there's only one God, and one may worship God in this way, another may worship God in that way, but what's important is that one worships God. So if there's something wrong with someone changing from this way to that way, then at your discretion, you... And Haridas. It's very simple. Chant the teachings, follow the teachings and the practices within your religion. It's very simple. Otherwise, I'll have to punish you. He said, if you give me a death penalty and you cut my to 1,000 little pieces, I still won't be able to stop chanting the holy name, because the chanting of the holy name done properly comes from the heart. You can take away the body and we're still chanting. It's just who I am. I can't stop being who I am because you're threatening me. You do with me what you like. So the Qazi turned to the complainer and said, what should we do? Kill him. Better than just executing him is take him through the marketplace and have him beaten with sticks publicly so everyone can see what happens when you do like Haridas. You'll be severely punished. Because he said, very well, so be it. So the arrangements were made, the big, strong, macho guys with big arms and big, powerful sticks were taking him to the marketplace and beating him and beating him. And the people in the marketplace, they saw Haridas as a sadhu, and they were pleading with these government people, stop! You'll bring ruination to the whole of Puglia. He's a saintly person. Beat me. Don't beat him. But they kept beating Haridas. And took him to the next marketplace, and the next marketplace, and the next marketplace. And all that Haridas was doing was chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. He couldn't, in fact, he was just praying to the Supreme Lord, please forgive these foolish people. They don't understand what they're doing. They don't understand religious principle. Please forgive them. I release them from all responsibility on my behalf for their wrong. So not only Nama Prabhu, but the person who was being offended forgave. At the Mahaprakash Leela, we heard when he called Haridas, he told Haridas, when they were beating you, I was ready with my Sudarshan Chakra to destroy them, but you were praying so sincerely. I was powerless. But I couldn't bear to see you being beaten, so I took the beatings myself. Look, Haridas, see my back, all these marks on my back where they were beating me. Instead of you. He went through all 22 marketplaces. By the end of the day, the men with the sticks were exhausted. And they said to Haridas, we've never been through anything like this before. Someone never left more than 3 or 4 marketplaces, maximum. And you're just fresh as the beginning of the day and just chanting. If we go back and tell the Qazi what just happened, he'll think we were lenient and we didn't really try, and he'll take our life. Haridas, what to do? He said, oh, I didn't know I'd be the cause of problem for you, so I can just give up my life. That's all right. Yes, yes. So he closed his eyes and entered into a state of Mahasamadhi and apparently was dead. So the constables felt relieved and they carried his body before the Qazi. And said, he's dead. The Qazi asked the complainer, what should we do with the body? He said, don't bury him. Our culture, when you bury a dead person, they go to heaven. He shouldn't go to heaven. He should be treated like a dog. When a dog dies, you just take the body and throw it in the river. That's how he should be treated. So be it. He threw his body in the river, and it moved downstream some distance, and Haridas left the water. Oh, but the Qazi said, I will accept that you are truly a saintly person and an honest man if you survive this penalty. That was, you know, the beating penalty. So here comes Haridas walking along the bank of the Ganges, very peacefully chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And everyone was so happy and amazed. And except for the Qazi, he was very ashamed. He called for Haridas, come before me, bring him here. And he profusely apologized. He said, I've made such a big offense. You are truly a saintly person. From this day forward, you can do as you like. You're above any regulation of people like me. And as a result, many people, even before Mahaprabhu came, in Puglia, which we were supposed to go to, but the rain prevented us. I'm doing the katha here so that we can pay a visit to Puglia, and we'll go and see the place where Haridas Thakur had his cave. We were speaking one time when Vrajanath was with us. He spoke to the person in charge of that facility, and he said, not so many years ago, when he was a young man, young boy, now he's a man. So, but when he was a boy, he said he was in charge of this place, and the Ganges literally flowed right in front of this place. But in course of time, the Ganges course shifted, and now it's just a place without the Ganges. But it was literally on the bank of the Ganges, and a cave in the bank of the Ganges, in that exact place where hopefully we'll get to go. Julia. Then very quickly, he and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he and Advaita Acharya conspired together to have the Supreme Lord appear to change the degraded condition of the rapidly degrading age of Kali. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Haridas Thakur took part in his pastimes primarily in the kirtan. Although he wasn't a brahmana, he was a pure Vaishnava in the evening kirtans at the house of Srivas Pandit. He was in the assembly. Lord Chaitanya then engaged both Nityananda Das Thakur in inducing people, person to person, door to door, whatever, to please chant the holy name. They were the cause of the deliverance of Jagai and Madhai, because Nityananda, the Avadhut, decided, these two wild men, Jagai and Madhai, if Tanya can convert them from wild men to Vaishnavas, everyone will understand his glories. Haridas, let's go. Haridas wasn't such a madman as Nityananda. There's detailed descriptions in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Sometimes Nityananda would come along with vendors and just snatch things from their place where they had their wares, and say, you've offered to a brahmana, thank you very much. And then the man with the wares would go to Haridas and say, wares, pay for these items. He said, I don't have anything, I'm a mendicant, and you know, this person's a madman. What can I do? He's just my companion. And sometimes he'd go in, and as the brahmanas were performing their midday duties, he'd splash them with water while they're chanting the Gayatri Mantra. And be angry and turn to Haridas and say, do something about this person. And he'd say, he's a madman, right? I can't do anything. And if he was told that there were alligators in the Ganga, he'd dive into the Ganga and start swimming around right where they said there were alligators. Haridas came back and said to Lord Chaitanya, please send me with somebody else. But in this way, Jagai and Madhai were saved. And regularly, Haridas taxing people on Lord Chaitanya's order to chant the holy name, along with his own chanting of the holy name 300,000 times a day. When Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, he was one of the ones not informed, but he's one of the ones that came later, Puri. So now this is just the concluding pastimes of Haridas. He went to Puri very quickly. When the first time, this is after Lord Chaitanya had been in a South Indian tour and Kala Krishna Das was sent to inform everybody, please come. You heard that description. Paramananda Puri didn't want to wait, so he went with Kamala Kanta Vishwas. Remember that from earlier? So later the rest of the devotees came. Meanwhile, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in a mood of feeling separation from Jagannath because the Snan Yatra had taken place, and he went to Alalanath. He left Puri. He couldn't bear to be in the place without Lord Jagannath. So he went to a place where there's a form of Lord Vishnu. In a deep mood of separation. But when the Vaishnavas arrived, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya took the opportunity and went and informed him in Alalanath, the devotees from Bengal, your dear devotees have come. So immediately Lord Chaitanya gave up his mood, his own of feelings for Krishna, for what was even higher, serving the Vaishnavas. Please understand that one carefully. By his own example, service to the Vaishnavas is even more important than your mood and service to Krishna, whatever that is. So he left Alalanath and came at once and made arrangements for receiving all the devotees with his own hand. Like, did deity worship. He anointed them with sandalwood paste and washed their feet and gave them garlands and cared for them in a very personal way and made arrangements for everyone's residences. When all of that was done, he asked, where's Haridas? Said, oh, he's still out on the road paying obeisances, feeling himself too humble to be with all the devotees. So Lord Chaitanya immediately went there and lifted us up with his hands and said, Haridas, please come. He said, I'm unfit to be with all of these other exalted personalities. Please give me a very simple place where I can sit and just see the chakra on top of the Jagannath temple. Understanding his mood, Lord Chaitanya made that arrangement at what we now know as Siddha Bakul. And there weren't all the buildings that are there now at that time. So from where he was sitting, he could see the chakra on the top of Jagannath, which was to him the same as seeing Jagannath, because he felt himself unqualified to enter the Jagannath temple because of his birth, which is not the real qualification, but he was taking that position of humility. Those of you that have been to Puri, you've certainly been to Siddha Bakul, and this Bakul tree was created personally by Lord Chaitanya, because where he was sitting there wasn't a tree, and it sometimes becomes very hot. So he wanted to make a tree for him. So he took one of those toothbrushes from a Bakul tree, that little soft on the end and stick in the middle. He stuck it in the ground. And immediately a Bakul tree came. Fully matured Bakul tree with big leaves and lots of shade for Haridas. And therefore it became known as Siddha Bakul. Siddha means perfect. Siddha. Perfection. Like we spoke of Jagannath Das Babaji as a Siddha Babaji, Siddha Purush, perfected person. So Siddha Bakul. And there is the same place where Raghunath Das Goswami wished to stay, and Sanatan Goswami wished to stay, and Rupa Goswami, when he would come to Puri, would stay with Haridas, not going into the temple. Raghunath didn't stay there, but the other two stayed with us. And it became a place where Lord Chaitanya would come regularly and give his association to those devotees, and particularly Haridas. He would go to the temple in the morning and bring Mahaprasad from Lord Jagannath that the pujaris would give to him and give to Haridas with his own hand, because Haridas was so dear to him. And so many pastimes, but the parting pastime is the sweetest, or well known, at least. Haridas Thakur was very old and was unable to complete his chanting. Lord Chaitanya came to see him, and he was lying down, ill, aged, unable to his chanting. Lord Chaitanya brought him Mahaprasad. He said, I haven't finished my chanting. How can I take Mahaprasad? But then, how can I not honor Prasad when it's brought directly from Lord Jagannath? So he said, give me a little. Took a little and continued with his effort to chant. And Lord Chaitanya said, you don't need to do this. And you're on the stage of perfection. And he said, no. I've taken a vow. I must complete my chanting. And they had so many nice discussions together on the glories of chanting the holy name. Just thinking earlier, Lord Chaitanya said to Haridas, you say, Haridas, that One who chants the holy name, and by my appearance in this world, all living entities in the universe are delivered. But look, there's trees, and there's plants, and there's animals, and there's people, and there's life here on this planet. So how can you say everyone is liberated? And Haridas Thakur said, it's true. What I say is true. All those living entities that have had your association, they've gone back to the spiritual world, and other living entities have taken their place. And Lord Chaitanya would ask Haridas the truths of the holy name, and Haridas would answer. He was a scholar like Nimai Pandit was a scholar, but he knew the conclusive truths of the scripture and spoke them when asked by anyone. So he said, Lord Chaitanya, I have just one request. Very soon you're going to complete your pastimes, and I don't want to experience separation from you after you've left. My sense is soon you're going to complete your pastimes. Please allow me to leave first. And when I leave, I just want to see your form as I'm leaving my body. Please grant me that one request. Lord Chaitanya said, how can one refuse such a person as you? The next day he came with all of his associates in Lord Chaitanya's presence. Voluntarily, like Bhishma Dev, he gave up his body. Just his eyes, the beautiful form of Lord Chaitanya. Very beautiful pastime. And Lord Chaitanya picked up his body and began to dance with his body and said, chant the holy name, and they had kirtan and dancing, carrying a dead body. One doesn't do those things. Smarta brahmanas don't touch dead bodies. But Haridas Thakur was not just an ordinary personality, and Lord Chaitanya was dancing and dancing in ecstasy. He led the kirtan party to the sea. With his own hand, he dug a hole, placed the body of Haridas Thakur with his own hand. He did the rituals for the saintly person, flowers and everything, and filled the tomb of Haridas with sand with his own hand. And the some of Haridas Thakur today is right by the sea, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur made his bhajan kutir to be near the place where Haridas Thakur's samadhi is. And Lord Chaitanya then ordered for a huge feast in honor of the departure of Haridas Thakur. And there was a huge feast prepared. And Lord Chaitanya personally arranged everyone to sit, and with his own, he had a big hand, placed prasad on the plates of everyone. They got a lot of prasad because he had a big hand. But no one would eat unless Mahaprabhu took prasadam first. So finally he sat down in prasad, all in honor of Haridas Thakur, the acharya for the chanting of the holy name. So, to whatever degree we wish to improve in our spiritual life, and the best means is improving in our chanting. And one of the best means of improving in chanting is from one who is a good chanter, like Haridas Thakur, and receive their blessings. Like we mentioned at Advaitacharya's place, that Lord Chaitanya, that Prabhupada went there to pray for his mercy, to be empowered to carry out the mission that Bhaktisiddhanta had given him. Similarly, the mission of our life, to chant the holy name in a quality manner, in an attentive, absorbed manner, pray to Haridas Thakur. Hopefully we'll be able to go to Puglia before we conclude our yatra. Now, Nisringapali, this will be very brief. It's described that after Lord Nisringadev took care of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyakashipu's associates, and Prahlad offered his prayers, Lord Nisringadev came here. Again, remember that this is the place where all holy places reside. So although there may be other places that speak similar, this is the abode of all of those holy places. So Nrisimhadev came here in Satyayuga. This deity was established of Lord Nrisimhadev. Since that time, as you can see, the deity is quite old, but the deity was worshipped since that time, and the place is also called Deva Pali, because the devas, Lord Brahma and all the devas came, and Vishvakarma established for them, so they could be where Lord Nrisimhadev and worship. The Mandakini River was passing by here. It is said that Lord Nrisimhadev washed his hands in the Mandakini River. The Mandakini River has since dried up. And since this is Satyayuga, when there were palaces, as you can see, there's no longer palaces. There are hillocks, and that's not so visible from where we were seated, but according to Navadvipa Dham Mahatmya, there were hundreds of such palaces that Vishvakarma had built. And over time, they were destroyed just by time. So therefore, this is also known as Devapali or Nrisimhapali, the place where Lord Nrisimhadev came and rested.